The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commandments so that you may love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Last week, we talked about abiding in Christ, and this week, Jesus asks us to abide in his love. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." And I have to stop right there. Those few words need some attention. So, Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, as we say. He is the Son part of the Father, Son, and Spirit. The three persons of the Trinity love each other as purely as love can be loved, if that makes sense. And if we can try to imagine it, they love so purely and so perfectly because they are love. We read that, well, they are God, and we read that God is love. So we call them persons of the Trinity because they're distinct from one another. They're not just different personalities of one person, I guess we would say. So in order to describe the indescribable God of ours, the only thing we have to employ is language, which is limited, and it's in part limited because our comprehension is limited. And also in part because we can comprehend, and we can know, and we can feel things that we absolutely cannot find words for. That always makes me think of Suzanne Vega. And if you were in high school when I was in high school, you probably know who Suzanne Vega is. She was a musical artist in the 80s. And she had some hits on the radio. She had a pretty big hit called Tom's Diner. You might remember just the tune of it, if you will bear with me here. It goes like this. I can see people nodding. Yes, I know that song, right? Yes? Well, I liked it so much that I bought the album on a cassette tape. Remember those? And I played it on a loop in, I don't even think we had a tape deck in the car. I don't know. But I played it on my Walkman, and I played it on a little boombox that I had in my room. I liked her melodies. I liked her voice. I loved the poetry of her lyrics. It had me hovering with my finger over the buttons on my tape player, right, so that I could hit rewind and hit play so I could hear lines again and again, because what she did with words was something I just hadn't heard before in pop music, certainly. I couldn't believe how wonderfully she just played. She thought language was to be played with, and I guess I was coming to agree with her. One of the songs on that album that she sings this line, "If language were liquid, it would be rushing in. Instead, here we are, in a silence more eloquent than any word could ever be." And I have often, since those teenage years, wished for language much more liquid than we have. I wish that we could more easily pour words into people or onto places. I wish that we could find words for that which is beyond words. Because we do think and feel and know things that just can't wear words the way that it can wear silence. And I think that the sentence we started with in this scripture needs a much more liquid language than we have to express what it's trying to express. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Jesus says, "You see, disciples, I'm eternal. I'm one with the Father and the Spirit. I was there in the beginning. Actually, we all were. The Father was speaking, and I was the Word. The Father was speaking, and then when the Word was spoken, things started to exist, and then Spirit breathed life into all of it. We didn't begin that day," says Jesus, "in this eternal relationship. We didn't begin. We have always been. We are love, Father, Son, and Spirit. We are love, and love has never not been." So I think what Jesus is saying is, what I'm telling you, disciples, is that eternal love, love exists in ways that you cannot understand. You will put words together like three persons of the Trinity and Godhead. You'll put those words down on paper and you'll speak them from pulpits and you will try with language and you will do the best that you can to describe a love that you can only imagine. The best word that you've got is this Greek word, agape, agape love. It's your best shot at describing what's happening in and between and through the persons of the Trinity. Agape is the kind of love that you really actually want to have for each other. You long to love others unconditionally without all of the qualifications, without the boundaries and the strings and the qualifiers. Sometimes you actually manage agape love for another person, and it is the highest experience you will ever have. Imagine the person you love best in the purest way. Imagine that love you have, and now imagine it purer and stronger and deeper and better, with no boundaries, with no measurable end to it. Now you are beginning to imagine the love that the Father has for the Son. And the Son has said to us, "You get some of that. That's what I'm going to give you." In the same way that the Father has loved me eternally, creatively, unconditionally, that's the way I have loved you. Can we even hear that? Can we even imagine that, accept that? That the God of all that is, seen and unseen, the God whose word causes things to exist, loves us. Can we accept that eternal love loves us? Well, Jesus tells us to do more than even accept it. We are to abide in it, to remain in it and stay and live inside it and wallow in it. We are to breathe it into our lungs and breathe it out into the world. Abide in my love, he says. But you know, there does seem to be a bit of a qualification to this love abiding that's happening. Jesus says in verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Jeez. Keep the commandments. Well, that means I'm out. And I'm guessing if I asked you to raise your hands, you'd be out too. Keep all the commandments. That's how I abide in Christ's love. This eternal love that we're talking about is accessible if I keep all the commandments? Well, no. He didn't say that. He didn't say, if you keep my commandments, then I will love you. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will be abiding in my love. It's the same thing. It's not conditional, if then. It's just the truth. Keep my commandments. Keeping the commandments is abiding in Christ's love. And he didn't say, actually, keep the commandments. He said, keep my commandments. And Jesus' commandments are always about loving and serving your neighbor. So, when we are loving and serving our neighbors, we are abiding in Christ's love, which is also the love of all time and all space. Well, yes. And we know that's true. We've lived it out time and again in our lives. We feel most alive and loved and lovable and holy and human and divine when we are serving others. When we're working at Habitat for Humanity, when we write a check for offering or some other charitable cause, when we give blood, when we befriend someone on the school bus who could really use a friend, when we carve time out of our day to take someone to the doctor, when we receive a phone call at 2:00 in the morning from a friend in crisis who really doesn't want to bother you, but you're the only one I could think of to call. When we sacrifice our own comfort and stand up for something we know is right, about racism or sexism or homophobia or caring for the orphan or the widow, but we know that it will cost us our popularity. When we listen to those who are in pain, really listen. We were created to abide in eternal love. Jesus gives us the commandment to love because it's the most loving commandment he could give. Do the thing that you were created to do. Do that thing, and you will not only feel whole yourself, you will bring about wholeness in others. In verse 11, he says, I give you these commandments so that your joy may be complete. Not, I give you these commandments so that you can be good. Not, I give you these commandments so that you can check off the boxes of righteousness. Not so that you can measure up to some divine measuring tape someone has convinced you exists. Not so that you can say that you kept all the rules. I give you these commandments so that your joy may be complete. Keeping the commandment to love, abiding in Christ, is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Sin is the lie. Division is the lie. Thinking we don't need others, that's the lie. Love, relationships that are loving, unity that stitches this life to this life to this life to this life, service born of love, that's the truth of this life. And when we have come to believe the lies, when we've come to see these things as us and them, when we've got our definitions and our qualifications for those who might deserve our help, Christ meets us right there in the middle of the lies and brushes the hair off our foreheads if there's still hair on our foreheads, and reminds us about the seal of love that was put on our lives at the font. Christ meets us right there in the middle of the lies and says, this is my body. broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Take and eat. And then go and love. Stitch yourself with threads of love to another person and another person. Give love to someone that no one around you thinks deserves love. Jesus says, go love your neighbor. That's what will make your joy complete. Thanks be to God.